All right. Praise the Lord. Anybody glad to be in God's house this morning? All right. Hey, that's exciting. It is exciting to be in God's house. A couple things. Veterans, we do love and appreciate you. We thank you for your service. And yeah, go ahead. Give them a round of applause. Give them a clap. We're grateful for you. On another note, this coming Saturday, everybody say 11 o'clock. Nice. Man, you guys are on top of it today. Nobody's sleeping, and that's great. Hey, next Saturday at 11 o'clock, matter of fact, it's from 11 to, correct me if I'm wrong, 1:30. It's kind of come as you want and go. So we just want to invite you. What time is the dessert auction? 1 o'clock. Okay, so let me say thank you to everyone who's prepared and is going to be making some soup and those who are going to make desserts. We're going to be auctioning off those desserts around 1 o'clock. So bring some money. Listen, we want to bless our friends, John and Dina. John and Dina, can you wave at everybody? We have some new folks. They don't know who you are. Mike, can I borrow what you said the other day? Thanks. I've said before, John is battling cancer. Mike said it way better and said that John is beating cancer. And so we're going to go to help. John's not able to work because of his illness right now. And though we don't believe that that's going to be the case for too much longer, right? And so come and support them. I believe that's going to be right here in the sanctuary. And so going to have a great time doing that. And so as long as you bring some money. It's gonna be lots of fun. Who likes desserts? Okay, I like dessert. I'm gonna buy one or two. All right, let's see here. Was there anything else that I needed to mention? I'm searching my. You ever notice sometimes the files in your brain are kind of hard to find when you want to find them? Okay, so it's not just me. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about something that Jesus said. And we're going to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 14. So Jesus, before I read these verses here in John chapter 14, we need to understand why he's saying this. Jesus says here in verse 1, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." And so we have to kind of go back a few verses to find out what Jesus was talking about. Well, what he was talking about in the previous chapter, chapter 13, Jesus had just said, he kind of dropped two bombs among his disciples. And this was John's account of the Last Supper. And he drops, the first bomb is, one of you is going to betray me. And don't you know that every one of them's going, me? I wouldn't dream of it. So they all are kind of asking that question. And then the other bomb that Jesus drops shortly after that is Peter. He tells Peter, you're going to deny me as well. And then Jesus goes into chapter 14, okay? Because it wasn't originally written with chapters and verses, right? Not that those are wrong, but sometimes it divides where there is no division. And so here in chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, hey guys, don't let your hearts be troubled though. Even though one of you is going to betray me, even though one of you is going to betray me and basically the leader is going to deny me that he even knows me, Even though that's the case, don't let your hearts be troubled. And in our lives, we have things that trouble us, don't we? There are many things going on in our world right now, in society, that are very troubling. We're aware of those things. But Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Kind of goes back to the word of the Lord a little while ago. Don't fixate on those things. Fix your eyes on me, right? That's what the author of in Hebrews, he said the same kind of thing. He said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus was willing to go to the cross to redeem us. He was willing to do that for us. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Sounds kind of like he's giving us, helping us to realize, rather, that we have a choice in the matter, huh? We can choose on what to fixate on. We can choose to what to look at, whether it's the problem and the situation and the difficulty therein, or we can choose to say, you know what, that's not going to be the same next week or next month or next year. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus because he doesn't ever change, right? That's good preaching. That's good. No, you don't get to say anything now. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Look at this, though. Trust in God. He says, trust in God, okay? Obviously, that's where our trust needs to be placed. But look, Jesus goes a step further. And this was almost revolutionary at this time. You and I grew up hearing about Jesus, okay? They grew up hearing about somebody that was going to be coming someday. Does that make sense? So Jesus, in this moment, he's saying, you need to trust in God, but you can trust in me too. Because I'm one with the Father. Isn't that awesome? He said, you can trust in me. And so, church, we do that. We trust in God. We don't fix our sight, our minds. We don't fixate on the problems, on the troubles of this world. But instead, we look to him. We trust in God. We trust that he's with us. We trust that he's going to see us through. We trust in him. We trust in Jesus as well. Let's look at what he says in verse 2. He says, there's more than enough room in my Father's home. What? It seems like Jesus, where are you going? Like, how are you going from the troubles, right? But just stay with me. Pay attention. He said, he just automatically goes there because he knows what's best for him. And he says, hey guys, even though one of you is going to betray me, the other one's going to deny me, you're all going to be scattered. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Then he goes into talking about heaven, right? He's talking now about heaven. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. Some versions talk about mansions. I do not believe that's going to be the case. I'm sorry to let you down. But heaven isn't heaven because of a mansion. Heaven is heaven because of God Almighty, right? So I'm not living for a mansion anyway. I'm living to be with Jesus forever, right? He says there's more than enough room there. He says, if this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? I don't think he's still preparing it. I don't think it takes him that long to do things. He created everything that we know about in 6 days. Now he says here at this point, he says, I'm going to go and prepare your spot. Verse 3, he says, when everything is ready, I will come and get you. Oh, come on. That's exciting. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Do you see the Father's heart there? Do you see that God wants to be with us not only here and now, but forever? That excites me. He wants to be with you, and he's prepared a place for you. Not only that, but he's prepared the way for you. Let's look at that way. Look at verse 4. He says, and you know the way to where I'm going. Have you, maybe you're like me. Don't raise your hand, okay, please, because I don't want to embarrass you. But maybe you're like me. I'm not very good with directions. Why was that only ladies laughing? Ouch. Ouch. If my brother were here, he would totally acknowledge that because there was 3.5 years between us. And when I got my driver's license, I had to take him along with me so that I didn't get lost. Again, ladies laughing at me. So I had to come to terms with it. I just wasn't any good at it. But now, thankfully, anybody use GPS? Uh-huh. Ladies, you're the ones raising your hand. That means you don't know, have very good directions, not very good with directions either. I'm sorry. So I get up and I look, I gotta find this place. And when you enter in an address in your phone, a lot of times, at least mine, will give me a couple of different options of how to get there, right? Yours do the same? It'll give me, okay, this one, you can go this way, or you can go this way. And some of them are straight shots, some of them have one turn, some of them have a bajillion turns. And you're like, okay, you get to pick then which way you're going to go there, right? And life is full of all kinds of turns, isn't it? Jesus tells his disciples, he says, you guys know the way to where I'm going. And they're kind of like, they start scratching their heads. And then Thomas pipes up. And so there's different ways many times how we can get somewhere, isn't there? When I was growing up with my dad, and then when I began, got into the workforce, and even now with my kids, I say, hey, let's do this, and they go about it a different way than I do it. I did the same. My mom, I drove her a little bit crazy when it came. She was trying to teach me how to count coins. I'm not very good at it anyhow, but I would do it differently, and she would be like, what are you doing? I had a different way about it. And Jesus says, but guys, you know the way to where I'm going. Let's look at the next verse. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas says. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? See, Thomas was scratching his head. But wait, Jesus, we're not sure what you're getting at. We don't know where you're going. What are you talking about? Let's take a time out here. Let's pause because we have to. It's likely that the disciples, they didn't understand. They thought Jesus was coming to set up his kingdom and his rule right then, and that, yeah, they knew about some of those messianic passages where the Messiah would have to suffer, but they didn't. I don't think they wanted to understand. They didn't want to grasp that. They didn't want that to be the case, which meant that Jesus was going to have to go to the cross. He had already told them that by this time, at least 2 or 3 times. Guys, I'm going to have to suffer. Matter of fact, one of those times, Peter pulls Jesus aside and gets onto him. But here, and now Jesus is talking about leaving them, and they're going, he's going away. You guys know how to get there. You know the way. And they're like, no, we don't. We don't want you. One, we don't want you to leave. Two, we really don't want you to leave. And three, please don't go. Right? They want, and they just didn't understand the complete picture. Let's look at what Jesus says in the next verse. Jesus told them, hey, Thomas, I am the way. And I can hear, I could picture this being that loud, deep, booming voice. I am the way. Can't you? And I don't mean no disrespect whatsoever, but Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. So There are not all kinds of different ways to get to heaven, contrary to popular opinion. There's only one door to get into heaven. I know this is a short door. You're not seeing things. It's short. There's only one way to get into heaven. Even though I had already said that we go about things that we're doing, even if we're doing the same thing, we can get to the same result in multiple different ways. But not when it comes to heaven. You can't get to heaven by all kinds of different ways. There is some belief out there, I think it's called unity. Not all paths end in heaven. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I would rather tell you the truth and you end up in heaven because you respond to the truth of Jesus Christ. If you forget about Jesus and you say no to him and you close your heart to him, then you've just eliminated the only door that there is to heaven. You've just tossed it aside. There's only one door to heaven. You've got to go through that one door if you want to get in there. Hey, don't be mad at me. I didn't make up the rules. I'm just a messenger. But I want you to understand that there's only one way. It's not. Oh well, yeah. Those who follow Islam, they end up in heaven, and the Christians end up in heaven, and everybody ends up in heaven, and the Buddhists and the Hindus. That's not the case. That's not what I believe. Matter of fact, I don't think that's what any of them believe either. Well, Oprah is not a prophet. She is not a person of God. She is a television host. She's a valued person that God created. But we got to go back to the scripture, church. That's why God gave us the word of God. We have to know what it says. We have to then live by it. Paul said, even if I come and tell you another gospel, even if I come as an angel of light and I tell you a different gospel, then you need to toss it in the trash, is basically what Paul said. So whatever it is that people are saying, what do? We go back to the Word of God. Try to prove the Bible wrong. Go ahead. I'm not scared. God's not scared. I don't know that God's ever been scared or ever will be scared. But every time someone approaches him, they get a little scared. Or even see an angel, one of his messengers. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the only way. The only way. There's not like a line of doors. There's not a long hallway with doors on the left and doors on the right. There's one door. It probably looks nothing like that one. But there's one door. There's one way to get into heaven. There might be all kinds of different ways that you can mow the grass or you could build a house. There might be all kinds of different ways you could vacuum a room or cook a meal or count change. But there's only one way to heaven. Hey, I'm still preaching. There's one way to heaven, and that's it. And I don't have a problem sharing that. Well, Pastor, don't you think you're pretty close-minded? You call me whatever you want. I'm preaching the gospel. Jesus went around and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And listen, I believe the kingdom of heaven is near now as well. So are you going to walk through the door? The door is Jesus. To get into this sanctuary, you had to walk through a door. To get into heaven, you got to walk through a door, and that door has a name, and his name is Jesus. Can you bow your hearts with me? Can you put up that very last scripture? Acts 4:12 says this. There is salvation in no one else. There's salvation in nobody else. We can't be saved by some other means. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other name. There's no one else. There's no other Savior. There's no other, let me put it like this, there's no other door. If you're getting baptized this morning, you can go ahead and if you need to go change, go to the bathrooms and change, and then go ahead and come to this the side room here by the baptismal. But the rest of you, if you bow your hearts with me, if you want to go to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. If you have not made that decision yet, I want to give you that wonderful opportunity this morning to do that. If you say, Pastor, I'm ready to make a decision. I want to go through the door because I want to be in heaven someday. And see, it's more than just being in heaven someday. I believe there's a relationship, a constant, continual relationship here and now, before this life ends. You want to partake of that, and you want to go through the door that's Jesus to be saved. Raise your hand. You say, I haven't been living for Jesus. I see that. I have not been living for Jesus, but today I want to make that decision to go through Him. Others of you, I know you know that Jesus is the only way. And I'm so thankful for that. See, I'm not just being exclusive because I believe that Jesus died for all. Every person who has ever lived or will ever live, Jesus died for them. His blood is enough to forgive our sins. Praise God. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the gift of salvation that you offer to mankind through Jesus Christ. Thank you for his body. Thank you for his blood. We celebrate today who you are. And Lord, those who want to begin that relationship with you, Lord, you see the heart. And we just offer up our lives to you. And we recognize that you are the door. We recognize that you are the way, the only way. And today we acknowledge that you are. And we place our faith and trust in you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for providing the way for us to be born again, for us to be saved, and for us to be with you forever in heaven. God, we look to you and we celebrate who you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Listen, we are getting ready for some water baptism. And so I'm going to move this short door. How many of you could walk through this door being this high? Not very much. Love on other people. Would you bow your hearts with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the sunshine today. And I'm just so grateful, God, for your people. Make your face shine upon them. Bless them. Anoint them. And Lord, we just give you the praise. We love you. We look to you. We thank you for these who've made that decision to follow you. And Lord, may we each one make that decision every single day to follow you intentionally and on purpose. We just thank you, Lord. We love you. Lord, would you just go with your people, protect them, keep them safe, provide every need that they have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.